Welcome to the Purpose Inspired podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Visser, and this season is based on my book, Thriving, the Breakthrough Movement to Regenerate Nature, Society, and the Economy. Let's get to it. Disparity, please mind the gap. When I was a teenager, I volunteered for a work camp to help build a community center in a rural town in Namaqualand. This is a dry region along South Africa's northwest coast that bursts into spectacular carpets of colorful daisies every spring. Most people in the town were unemployed, although some managed to find work in the copper and diamond mines. There I made a friend, Johnny Bukas, a smart, hard-working, positive, proactive, and caring young man. Someone I would have trusted my life with. He gave me a glimpse into how tough life could be in a poor rural town in South Africa, especially as a person of color. The world of difference between Johnny and me had nothing to do with differences in our abilities and everything to do with differences in the opportunities we had been given in life. That is the essence of disparity, the fact that inequalities exist for billions of people, not because they deserve less, but because they are discriminated against, economically marginalized, or not lucky enough to be born into privileged circumstances. Amartya Sen, in his book Development as Freedom, changed the debate on poverty when he pointed out that inequality of capabilities is even more important than income disparity. By capabilities, Sen meant a person's freedom to choose what to be and do. For example, unequal access to education, health, technology, and power is a fundamental driver of perceived and actual inequality in society. Hence, unequal access to opportunities lies at the heart of disparity as a force for breakdown in society. Despite progress made by the Millennium Development Goals between 2000 and 2015, and by the Sustainable Development Goals since 2015, there is still growing inequality in the world. But you may be asking, why should we care about inequality? Part of the answer is that inequality is simply unfair. But disparity also imposes costs on society. In Richard Wilkinson and Kate Pickett's book, The Spirit Level, they highlight 11 health and social problems that are associated with higher levels of inequality, citing data on physical and mental health, drug abuse, education, imprisonment, obesity, social mobility, trust, community life, violence, teenage pregnancies, and children's well-being. The UN finds similarly that high levels of income inequality are associated with lower productivity, less durable economic growth, lower trust and social cohesion, social anxiety and class conflict, more homicides and criminal violence, lowered diffusion of sustainable technology, and less support for low-carbon policies. Income inequality is also linked with low-income mobility, meaning people's ability to improve their socioeconomic status. And it can be exacerbated by technological innovation, climate change, urbanization, and international migration. We face a paradox. Despite hundreds of millions of people having been lifted out of poverty, income inequality has grown over the past 40 years. The World Inequality Report in 2018 notes that between 1980 and 2016, the bottom 50% of the world's population captured 12% of real income growth, while the top 1% captured 27%. In other words, the rich are getting richer faster than the poor are getting richer. Consequently, the gap between the rich and the poor is widening. Look at the extremes, and the disparity is even more stark. Incomes of the top 0.001%, think of the billionaire elites, grew at 240% compared with around 70% growth for the bottom 10%. Of course, inequality is not only about income. Any unfair exclusion or unequal treatment of a particular group in society or the economy is a form of disparity. We see this most obviously in discrimination, where people of different ethnic backgrounds, physical and mental abilities, and sexual preferences are treated differently and excluded from opportunities. Even on gender equality, where we expect progress is being made, the trends are worrying. The World Economic Forum's Global Gender Gap Report in 2020 tracks gender parity in 156 countries across four dimensions: economic participation and opportunity, educational attainment, health and survival, and political empowerment. According to their findings, based on current trends, it will take another 135 years to close the overall gender gap, which is ludicrous and totally unacceptable. Good progress has been made on educational equality, where 95% of the gap has been closed, and similarly in health and survival, where 96% equality exists. But in political representation, only 26% of parliamentary seats and 23% of ministerial positions are held by women. Worst of all is the situation on gender equality in economic participation and opportunity, where the world is actually going backward. In 2020, November 4 was Equal Pay Day in Europe, which is the day that a woman symbolically starts to work for free for the remainder of the year because of the gender pay gap. Globally, there is still a 42% overall gap between men and women in economic participation and opportunity. If nothing changes, it will take 267 years to close the gender pay gap and 145 years to close the political gender divide. Disease, an ill wind that blows. I have a special relationship with Venice. It is where, on a gondola, I proposed to my lovely wife by reading her a poem titled Say I Do. I can see you rolling your eyes. It doesn't get more cliched than that, I know. Venice is also the city where I bought a Venetian mask. Yes, another cliché. More to the point, I discovered that the popular masks shaped like the beak of a bird used to be worn by doctors during the Black Death plague in the mid-1300s. The purpose of the long nose, which would sometimes be stuffed with herbs and flowers, was to keep away bad smells, known as miasma, which were thought to be the principal cause of the disease. We've come a long way in 800 years, yet we are still vulnerable to various forms of ill health. That is the underlying meaning of disease: the absence of physical and mental well-being, resulting in poor health. We should be rightly proud that the world has made remarkable progress on improving health. After all, billions of people are living longer and healthier lives compared to previous generations. Significant inroads have also been made into preventing and treating infectious diseases. Despite all this progress, however, we need to keep an eye on areas of ongoing or rising concern. Today, more than 70% of deaths are due to non-communicable diseases, or NCDs, most notably cardiovascular disease, cancer, chronic respiratory disease, and diabetes. There are strong correlations between these NCDs and lifestyle choices, such as tobacco use, air pollution, unhealthy diets, physical inactivity, and harmful use of alcohol. In addition to these physical diseases, there are mental illnesses. Depression and anxiety affect 10% of people, cost the economy $1 trillion a year and have doubled over the past 25 years. Sometimes these conditions are called lifestyle diseases or diseases of the rich, and around 40% of annual deaths from them are regarded as preventable. The role of diet in health is getting more attention lately as the data becomes clearer. For example, 2018 Oxford research found that eating predominantly plant-based diets could reduce premature deaths from chronic diseases by more than 20%, besides cutting greenhouse gas emissions by between 54 and 87%, fertilizer application by between 18 and 25%, and cropland and freshwater use by between 2 and 11%. In support of these findings, the UK Health Alliance on Climate Change has called for a tax on meat to improve health and reduce carbon emissions. Their survey of British health professionals found that two-thirds agree with this double benefit approach. Health is not only about physical fitness, diet, or tackling diseases, but also about mental well-being. Mental health issues account for 20% of those living with disabilities, and people living with mental health conditions are more likely to face other physical health problems, such as HIV, tuberculosis, substance abuse, and non-communicable diseases, taking 10 to 20 years off their average life. More than 80% of people experiencing mental health problems are without any form of quality, affordable mental health care. Yet for every dollar put into scaled-up treatment for common mental disorders, there is a return of $4 in improved health and productivity. While there are many kinds of mental health disorders, one that is especially relevant for business is burnout, which the World Health Organization included in 2019 for the first time in its International Statistical Classification of Diseases and Related Health Problems. Globally, 264 million people suffer from depression and symptoms of anxiety, which cost the global economy $1 trillion each year in lost productivity. Burnout symptoms range from feelings of anxiety, low mood, and detachment from day-to-day life, or not being able to cope at all with work or life, and being hospitalized as a result of mental breakdown. Despite the looming crisis of deteriorating mental well-being in the workplace, governments only spend 3% of health budgets on mental health. Meanwhile, businesses see rising long-term sick leave, spiraling staff costs, and a never-ending recruitment treadmill. According to a Gallup survey of more than 12,650 employees, the leading causes of burnout are unfair treatment at work, unmanageable workload, unclear communication from managers, lack of manager support, and unreasonable time pressure. Well, that's it for this time. I hope you enjoyed this episode and that you'll join me again next time when the story of Thriving continues. Just a reminder that if you don't yet have your copy of Thriving, you can get it at any retailer as an ebook, an audiobook, or a hardback. You may also be interested in the Thriving podcast, where I speak with various thinkers and practitioners of thriving and regeneration. You can find that by searching on your favorite podcast platform for Thriving the Breakthrough Movement. And finally, you might be interested in becoming a Thriving Facilitator. If that sounds interesting to you, then do reach out and I can send you more information, or you can find it on my website, waynevisser.com. That's it for now, and we'll see you again next time. Hope you have a wonderful week.